Hi, I'm Henry Reinga, the president of Christian Leaders Institute. I want to welcome you to the sociology class here at Christian Leaders Institute. I personally am so excited, and I want to do this class. It's a core class in the degree programs. It's a class that talks about human civilization and very specifically issues such as class and society and culture. This class is required at most colleges if you're going to get a bachelor's degree. Now, on one point, I asked myself, why am I teaching this class? But when I think about this, I've been reflecting on why am I teaching this class? Well, first of all, I've been a pastor for 30 years, a church planter. I've walked with people. I've walked in society. I've been confronted with many of these issues that you're going to address in this class. So whether you are called into vocational ministry or bivocational ministry, or whether you're called to do another program here at Christian Leaders Institute like Enterprise or anything we offer, this class is a crucial class. Now, it's fascinating to think about this class because this class, in many ways, is a class that's a doorway into the general understanding of culture and society. And in many times, Christians who go to college take a sociology class, and it introduces them to ideas that are very different than the Christian world and life view. What I love about teaching this class is that I love the Christian world and life view. And in this class, we're going to address the topics. They're raised in a general education worldview class. Yet, we're going to love and enjoy the Christian perspective. We're going to deal with the topics in a textbook from Wikipedia textbooks. That this textbook was written by general audience authors for general colleges, and we're going to use that textbook, and that's going to be part of your readings. I'm going to accent different parts of the textbook, and my style of teaching this class is that you're going to do your readings, and then I'm going to share also in my presentations some of those readings, some of those paragraphs, and make comments relative to a Christian world and life view. Also, I'm going to add some extra presentations in there, presentations that develop a sociological theme. So sit back, get ready to study, get ready to be engaged. I'm looking forward to it. My background in philosophy just energizes me in sociology. My background in the church energizes me for this class. Christian Leaders Institute, courses like People Smart in Ministry and in Enterprise energize me to teach this class. So let's do it. So let's start with a simple question. What is sociology? It's simple. Sociology is the study of human social life. I love how the Apostle Paul addresses this. When he's there at the Mars Hill in Athens, he says, "For in him," he's talking about God the Father, the Creator. He's talking about God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But in this case, he says, "In him we live and move and have our being." As some of your own prophets have said, we are as offspring. So Paul is being sociological there. He's basically saying, hey, there's a view of God in your culture. But the God that you know as an unknown God, in him I know the known God. In Christ Jesus, in him we live and move and have our being. So, as we talk about this, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, what is conventional empirical investigation? Sociology is a branch of the social sciences that uses systematic methods of empirical investigation and critical analysis to develop and refine a body of knowledge about human social structure and activity, sometimes with the goal that applying such knowledge to the pursuit of government policies designed to benefit the general social welfare. Now, I just said a lot there. It is a branch of the social sciences. It comes out of this concept philosophically going back to 1800 exactly, when Immanuel Kant, K-A-N-T, basically divided the world into things of aesthetics and things of certainty. And he divided things up. And he basically said, the pursuit of God is aesthetics, and we really can't know that. The pursuit of science and certainty, that which is provable, is that which exists. Now, from a Christian perspective, we take issue with that modernism. I'm going to use the word term modernism here. Immanuel Kant, he was the father of modernism, and modernism basically says that the only thing that is provable is that which is proved by science, and things of God cannot be provable. So what you're going to see that sociology itself comes out of a premise of empirical, provable investigation. So that's why when a lot of people go to a college and they take a sociology class, what they right away get exposed to is they get exposed to a view that Christianity and sociology are not reconcilable. But we're going to find that they're very much connected. Yet you're going to have to see the world through the eyes of Christianity. And if you do, sociology can be a tool to give you very excellent insights into how to interpret your world. But it can also be a tool for a secular person, a person without God, to basically try to dismantle every ounce of Christianity and culture. So in a lot of ways, this is a very positive possibility subject, but it also can be a subject that many have used to tear down the church and tear down Christianity. So who is the founder of sociology? Emil Durkheim is said to be the follower, or the founder. Much of Durkheim's work was centered around how societies could maintain their integrity and coherence in modernity. Now that's modernism. In other words, everything has to be provable. An era in which traditional social and religious ties are no longer assumed. Again, I go back to Immanuel Kant, that traditional and religious ties are part of the aesthetic world. They can't be provable. They're no longer dependable. And in which new social institutions have come into being. So Emil Durkheim is the modernist following Immanuel Kant that's the founder of sociology. So know that the seed of sociology already is built in a modernism that's very much opposed to the faith by which we live our Christianity. Here's one more thing. It's very Western humanistic focused. The cultural turn of the 1970s and 80s brought more humanistic interpretive approaches to the study of culture in sociology. Conversely, the same decade saw the rise of new mathematically rigorous approaches such as social network analysis. Now, what do I want to talk about now? A little bit I want to just take a little sidetrack here because I think it's important you know that. In a lot of ways, sociology, as in taught in colleges, is very much elite, Western, philosophic lenses by which to see truth and society. In a lot of ways, it's very much elitist white. And when I say this, I am not seeking at all to say white is better than black or Hispanic or anything like that. But I want you to know that it's very much European white, the study of sociology. Now, we're going to find that we benefit greatly from the historical study of this, but we also have to be honest of the fact that some of this teaching has come from a worldview that pretty much was very colonial. European, then America, and their domination of the world was sort of the seed by which sociology took place. You know, let's talk about some of the strength of sociology. Sociology brings us to self-aware thinking. As C. Wright Mills thought, the sociological imagination could help individuals cope with the social world by helping them step outside their personal, self-centric view of the world. In employing the sociological imagination, people are able to see the events and social structures that influence behavior, attitudes, and culture. In a lot of ways, what we're talking about here is self-awareness. And self-awareness, discerning thinking, is very important. Applying the scientific method, this is part of that modern philosophic thinking, it would be inaccurate to say sociologists never sit around, even sometimes in comfy armchairs, trying to figure out how the world works. But induction is just the first step in understanding the social world. In order to test their theories, sociologists get up from their armchairs and enter the social world. They gather data and evaluate their theories in light of the data they collect, and then they use deduction. Again, this is scientific method types of stuff that were born in modernity, in the modern philosophic world. Sociologists do not just propose theories about the social world works. Sociologists test their theories about how the social world works using the scientific method. In a lot of ways, this is a reductionism. Let me tell you what reductionism means. Reductionism is the process by which one principle or one worldview gets clouded into or gets put into everything else. So, in a lot of ways, Christians have a reductionistic thinking in that we believe God is the creator, His Son redeemed us, His Holy Spirit is poured out, the kingdom of God is advancing, we are people of faith. In a lot of ways, you know, people would say that's reductionistic. Now, it could either be reductionistic or it is the gateway, the worldview by which we see all of life. The isms are that way, and we're going to talk a lot about isms in this class. Like, there's the isms related to, you know, alcoholism, where someone's whole life is centered around their addiction to alcohol. But there are other isms that we're going to talk about in this class. And one of the isms is basically the modernism, the scientific method-ism, by which all reality that can be known has to be proved. The reality is God may not be able to be proved by the scientific method, but we know that God is here. We can talk about how He lives in our life. We can talk about how His Word changes our heart. We can talk about the better story, the story of redemption, forgiveness, resurrection, all of those things. And they may not be proved by the, quote, scientific modernist theory, but we know through the eyes of faith in certainty that God is the center of the universe and we are His children. So, what sociology does, it does not usually, the general sociology does not take that perspective. So it's difficult to see what you see and not what you want to see. Sociologists, like all humans, have values, beliefs, even preconceived notions of what they may find in doing their research. As Peter Berger, a well-known sociologist, has argued, what distinguishes the sociologist from the non-scientific researchers is the sociologist tries to see what is there. He may have hopes or fears concerning what he may find, but he will try to see, regardless of his hopes or fears. It is thus an act of pure perception. So, I just want to point out something there. Here is a guy who's trying to say, sociologist wants to get away and just get to pure reason. Try to get all his biases out of the way to see what's really there. Now, on one level, that's good wisdom. Try to see what's really there. But an act of pure perception, the fact that we have the scientific method to bless us, guided by our faith in the Lord, it makes the scientific method even more effective. Now, somebody may say, well, you know, faith clouds the issue, or faith lights the issue up. In this class, faith lights the issue. Our faith with God is crucial. In fact, we want to be self-aware. We want to study our ways. Like Psalm 119, verse 59, I've considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I enjoy the scientific method and I want to employ it. I want to learn the principles of sociology that God can be more glorified. So, let's talk and dig in. Let's talk about first early history of sociology. The term sociology was actually recoined by Auguste Comte. He lived from 1798 to 1857, very much in the modernist era. Remember, in 1800, Immanuel Kant wrote his the Critique of Pure Reason, which he basically said pure reason is scientific, and that's the only thing that can be provable. So Auguste Comte was in that era, and in 38 years after that book was written, from the Latin term scotius, companion, associate, and the Greek term logia, study of speech, Comte hoped to unify all the sciences under sociology. He believed sociology held the potential to improve society and direct human activity, including the other sciences. He basically adopted the secular worldview, a worldview without God. While it is no longer a theory employed in sociology, now it's fascinating that our textbooks talk like that, even though it's, quote, no longer a theory, the reality is that this is the premise, the faith worldview that guides so much sociology is true. Comte argued for an understanding of society he labeled the law of three stages. Comte, not unlike other Enlightenment thinkers, so the Enlightenment thinkers, humanist, now influenced by Immanuel Kant, believe society developed in stages. The first was the theological stage, where people took a religious view of society. The second was the metaphysical stage, where people understood society as natural, not supernatural. Comte's final stage was the scientific, or the positivist stage, which he believed to be the pinnacle of social development. In the scientific stage, society would be governed by reliable knowledge and would be understood in light of the knowledge produced by science, primarily sociology. Again, I want to point out that how he thought. He basically thought that Christianity had no role in the development of society. Instead, it's going to be the scientific method. You know, when I think about this, I think the opposite way of Comte. I think of it this way. We were born as scientists. We were born with our senses. The scientific method is intuitive. We understand that. In fact, we see in creation, with our own observation, we see God. We see God in the incredible way our mind is created. A trillion, 3 trillion synapses that one brain has more internet connections than the entire world does right now. It has more synapse connections. We see in the stars and in the sun and how the world is governed by laws. We see in the cry of a baby, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. What we see right from the start is, with our own eyes, we observe. What Comte said is that, take church and God out of there, and what do you see? You see a scientific method. No. We leave God in our life. In fact, we want God in our life. And then what happens next is we see around us, we even use a scientific method. And one more thing, God has revealed His Word. So when we look around and see all of the creational wonder, we see the creational wonder guided by the revelation of the Word of God that was given over a couple thousand year period from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And we read in Hebrews 1 verse 3, the Son in Christ Jesus, the fullness of God sending His Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Now, I see this as the pinnacle of a sociological understanding. Because not only do we see all of creation, the fingers of God, His laws, creation, we also see how Jesus is that pinnacle. He comes to the earth, perfect man, divine God, and He comes here and He solves our biggest sociological problem. He's nailed to a cross. By being nailed to the cross, He restores a relationship with us back to God. That has everything to do about our social life. It allows us to forgive our neighbor. It allows us to love our spouse. We don't have to accuse or be victims. Christ was the victim. He took on the cross all of our sin and all of our shame. And not only that, Christ rose from the dead on the third day. Now, this story is a social story. It has everything to do with my sociology. It has everything to do with why I love my neighbor. It has everything to do with my freedom. So now, the Word of God has been given that I have insight into the sociology of not only my life, but the lives of others. Now, people will say, well, you know, aren't you a little Pollyanna that? I mean, look at the church through history, the Crusades and all that. Yeah, there's a lot of sin in the world because we here in the Christian world would like view that Adam and Eve, our first parents, fell into sin. In other words, we really need a redemption. So a Christian sociological worldview is deeper yet. We were created by God. We were put in a beautiful garden. He made it all. We fell desperately into sin, and now God has sent His only Son to be our Savior. Accusation, hate, sin, and even death is defeated. And now from that worldview, I live in this wonderful garden of the world God created again, redeemed. I'm free. I can start enjoying the scientific method. I can enjoy analyzing things. And here's what I believe. I believe I can see things the way they really are. Because now my vision has been increased and enhanced. I live in a self-aware place where creation is an open book. Human intelligence learns by observation and from science. How wonderful is that? It's not God against science. It's God as the one glorified in all of science shows how his laws are there and how the beauty of his creation exists. The Bible then guides the perspective by which we interpret those observations and science. So the truth is the truth of creation, the truth of redemption, the truth that a Savior was sent, that Savior died for me, that Savior lives for me, that Savior is ascended to heaven, that Savior lives forever, and the Holy Spirit has been sent into the world. This is the meta-narrative, the sociological story that guides my study of culture and society. So, with that in mind, understand that sociology was started as the practical application of Enlightenment thinking. As pioneers in sociology, most of the early sociological thinkers were trained in other academic disciplines, including history, philosophy, and economics. The diversity of their trainings is reflected in the topics they researched, including religion, education, economics, psychology, physics, philosophy, and theology. Perhaps with the exception of Marx, Stanton, and Wolff, their most enduring influence has been on sociology, and it is in this field that their theories are still considered most applicable. You know what this is saying? This is saying you're taking a sociology class. This sociology class is the practical application in many Enlightenment thinkers and many humanists as sort of the secular Bible, the secular way of life. Now, and this is where we have to be discerning. These scientists have seen much truth. They have seen powerful implications that help us order our world that are in societies. But we see this through the eyes of our faith. So we're going to learn the principles of sociology. Christian Leaders Institute is Christian, and we're happy about that. So we are going to have rigorous study of sociology where Christ is the center of our world. So this reductionism sociology, and what I mean by an ism there, what I mean is taking everything from a worldview where God does not exist in the study of sociology, we have to understand it that this is a descendant of French Enlightenment. Comte was impressed, as are many of the it's a French word for philosophers, philosophides. I can't even say it, but anyway, you can look it up. It's basically a French philosopher with the Newtonian Revolution. In other words, this Enlightenment saw that, you know, gravity and science became the world, and, you know, in a sense, they like to say, you know, the world is no longer four-cornered, because somewhere in the Bible it says the four corners of the earth, therefore the science of the Bible is the four corners. But the French Enlightenment found that, no, the world is round, it's a globe, and there's gravity. Anyway, Comte argued for a particular view of sociological theory. All phenomena are subject to variable natural laws, and the sociologist must use their observation to uncover the laws governing the social universe. Back to the word social universe. The word social universe in sociology is basically You know, we think about the universe with stars and the universe with God there. They mean by social universe a world without God and all the social interactions that occur in all culture that is built, having no explanation to God creating anything, but often driven by various impulses. The most prominent one in Enlightenment thinkers became to be evolution, where societies evolved very much like evolution has evolved. And we're going to talk about many of these principles in this class. So, sociologists must use their observation to uncover the laws governing the social universe in much the same way as Newton had formulated the law of gravity. Comte emphasized this agenda in the opening pages of Positive Philosophy. You know, I'm sad to say that if you have a belief that you don't want to include God in the world, you can dream up an incredible narrative and use clinical, philosophic prepositions and ideas that sort of edge God out, and this is what Comte did. He said, first, sociological theory is not to be concerned with causes per se, but with the laws that describe the basic and fundamental relations of properties in the social world. What he's saying is fundamental causes. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas talked about God as a fundamental cause, and right away Comte is saying, no, you know, God is not a fundamental cause. Second, sociological theory must reject arguments by final causes. Oh, another one of St. Thomas Aquinas' analysis. That is, analysis of the results in a particular phenomenon for the social whole. This disavowal is ironic because Comte's more substantive work helped found sociological functionism, a mode of analysis that often examines the functions or final causes of phenomenon. Now, you know, I think that's hilarious to think about that. So he rejects God as a first or final cause or function, and then he replaces it with reason and the scientific method as the first and final causes of something. So, you know, he's running away from God, and then he makes a new God. Isn't that how humans are? If we dethrone God from our heart, we will put on our heart, on the throne of our heart, another God. We are religious people. John Calvin once said, is that the seed of religion is in all of us. We can run, but we cannot hide from worshiping something or someone. And that's true. It's all the rationalists and all of the sociological thinkers, they could do everything to dethrone God, but they could not run away from an idol. They would ultimately put another God on the throne of their hearts and their thinking. Truly, he was a modernist thinker. Third, clearly the goal of sociological activity is to reduce the number of theoretical principles by seeking only the most abstract and those that pertain to understanding fundamental properties of the social world. And what he means by this is he wants propositions. He wants to abstract things in a world without God. It really is the ism thinking. Comte felt that philosophy has done as much as possible in terms of understanding the human condition. He believed there was time for the positivistic approach. That meant studying things that were of empirical, testable nature. He thought that sociology must be based on observation, not intuition or speculation. Comte thus held a vision of sociological theory as based on the model of natural scientists, particularly the physics of his time. For this reason, he preferred the term social physics to sociology. Notice how he did that. It's all that which is provable. So thus, having said all that, why in a college throughout the world, a Western college, the study of culture, why is it put in social scientists, of social science? Owing back to Comte is because social science was the seed of it, is that which is scientific. It's not in the area of theology. How does God order the world? It's not in the area of social relations, communications. It's in science, because owing to these founders of sociology, they want to leave God-centered universe behind. Early sociological studies considered the field to be similar to that of the natural sciences, like physics or biology. As a result, many researchers argued the methodology used in the natural sciences was perfectly suited for use in social sciences like sociology or psychology. The effect of employing the scientific method in stressing empiricism was the distinction of sociology from theology, philosophy, and metaphysics. Thus, this also resulted in sociology being recognized as an empirical science